fasten your seatbelts, and turn up the radio. We're ready for takeoff. According to Boeing, North America will be needing more than 200,000 new pilots by 2037. That number jumps to just under 800,000 worldwide. Add in 1.6 million technicians and cabin crew members, you could say the aviation industry is heading for crisis if a concerted effort isn't made. Today on Route 51, we take a look at one local effort that is intentionally designed to address the issue. Based at the Wausau Downtown Airport, Learn, Build, Fly pairs experienced aviators with elementary through high school students, first to introduce them to flight and eventually has them building actual working airplanes. The program has also caught the attention of a major commercial airline with hopes to develop an aviation degree program right here in central Wisconsin. Let's introduce our guests. John Schmiel manages the Wausau Downtown Airport and with his wife Angela owns Wausau Flying Service, where he is a flight instructor and loves to take people up in his orange 1941 Boeing Stearman, a.k.a. Orange Ruffy. Once known as Wisconsin's fastest teenager, Dave Conrad is president of Learn, Build, Fly. Dave has been a pilot for over 35 years and has more than 1,000 flight hours to his credit, most of which in planes he's built. One of those planes he raced in the EAA Air Adventure Cup last year and clocked in at just under 180 miles per hour. We'd also like to hear from you. Do you have a question for either of our guests? Our number is 800-780-9742. That's 800-780-9742. John and Dave, welcome to Route 51 on Wisconsin Public Radio.
Good to be here.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you.
John Schmiel, I'd like to start with you. Maybe tell us a little bit about the history of the Wausau Downtown Airport and its impact in the community and Wisconsin's aviation history.
Well, the Wausau community, since the beginning of aviation, has been on the forefront of what's happening in aviation. In 1927, our airport was developed in its current location. But even prior to that, we did great things in aviation. In 1911, a local airplane builder and pilot built and flew the first airplane in Wisconsin down by the Rothschild Pavilion. There weren't always trees there. That was a field. And so that was pretty close to when the Wright brothers did it. So we were, as they said in those days, an air-minded community. And that's continued from that era all the way into the present.
What gave you the bug to fly?
I don't know that I was given the bug. I think I was born with the bug. My mom said my first word was airplane. My first recollection of being a being on the earth was me playing airport next to my bed. I had a green bed cover and a shoebox as a hanger and about 12 airplanes there. And now it's 54 years later, and I'm still playing with airplanes and playing airport.
Dave, you've been a pilot for over 35 years. What? How did you get the bug?
Well, I always like building things. I flew model airplanes since I was real young, too. I, at the time, back in about 1970, I think, was the youngest member of the Radio Control Model Airplane Club here in Wausau. And I did that through high school. And then you just mentioned the Wisconsin's fastest teenager thing. Well, I quit the model airplane business for a while there, and I ventured into drag racing for about 6 or 7 years, and that's how I got that. I was pretty serious about all of that back there. Whether it's true or not, I don't know, but that's what they called me at the racetracks. So I did that, and then I got out of that. Kept a lot of the friendships because they were all mechanical-based people and fabricators and stuff from that hobby. And I had been fortunate enough to meet a lot of the right people. So I decided to build an airplane, and that was in the early 1980s, and learned how to fly and so on at that time. And it's been the best money and effort I've ever spent in my life on anything.
Incredible. Now, you started, you're the president of Learn, Build, Fly.
Correct.
And we'll get into the specifics of that program in a little bit. But first, tell us how it started and what the goals of the program are.
Well, like I said, the whole aviation community has been it's an incredibly talented and giving group of people. And back in the well, this would have been, what, 2013, I think it was.
Yep.
Paul Poperesny was the founder of the Experimental Aircraft Association back in the, in 1950. Anyhow, Paul died at the age of 90 or 91. And a good friend of ours here in Wausau, Kurt Meir, was a friend of that family. And Paul had been working on an airplane. And the family offered us that project to complete and bring back to the Oshkosh Air Show and display and fly for the group. So we did that. And as we were building that, we had a or finishing that airplane, we had a hangar that one of the other guys that was just a friend, a heated hangar, he let us use it and finish the airplane. And it started out as a group of adults, and it migrated down to kids. I don't know, somehow or other, it got into, I think, the Mosin East School District first, and three or four of those kids started showing up. And then word got out, and we had some kids from Wausau coming, and I think we had about eight or nine.
At least that many.
Yeah, that were showing up. And these kids were incredibly talented, and they were able to work alongside us with very little teaching. And that kind of redirected the whole purpose of the program to kids. So we finished that airplane, and we opened up the Oshkosh Air Show three times flying it. And it was quite a thrill for a guy from Wausau to be able to do that. And I look back at that, and still puts a smile on my face. So that fall, after that was all done, the first year that we had opened the air show, and we got to that fall, and this group was all assembled, and we were looking over things, and we decided that we should probably build another airplane. This was a group decision. And that we would take this thing to the next step, form a 501c3 nonprofit, and kind of make the focus of the group educating young people to fly and learn the mechanics and the needed skills and so on to survive in the aviation business. And time went along. We started building an airplane, another airplane, and we kind of outgrew the space that we were in. And a couple of local foundations had gotten wind of what we were doing, and the people were showing up, too, to kind of watch what it was. The first thing we were offered was a copy of Autodesk Inventor, which is a very, very powerful solid modeling program for drawing up parts and doing simulations, fitting parts together so you can see that they all work before you even make them. And we got that going, and the effort was such that that individual and a couple others from the community foundation, by the way, was involved in all of this too. And we secured the money to build the Learn, Build, Fly Education Center, which right now sits behind the park at the airport, which was just newly refabricated and re-outfitted, and I think we'll talk about that a little bit too later. But we got going on that hangar project finally last year, and it's virtually finished now. There's a few little odds and ends yet we want to accomplish in there. But we've got an absolutely wonderful, warm, well-lit, nice
warm
place to work. So
the warm part is very significant recently.
And free of snow is another part.
We're pilots, but we intended to fly, not pile snow.
Yeah.
And we seem to be doing a lot more piling snow than flying lately.
And, you know, I'm sure there's some ski plane pilots out there that are saying, what are you guys talking about, that are very happy that they can go fly around to the lakes. But all I can say to them is, you know, getting your airplane from your hangar onto the high snowbanks and onto the snow to take off is quite an effort, too, and I've been there and done that.
I'll ask you in a little while to give us a walk through that educational center, but I did want to ask both of you to talk a little bit about the relationship that Learn, Build, Fly has with the airport itself and how you work together. And John, go ahead and start.
Well, I think the process of the aviation youth programs in Wausau has really been an organic process. Nobody had to really try to put it together the way that it was, or the way that it currently exists. Just to go back a little bit, I've been the airport manager at WASA for 27 years, and of course, I'm passionate about aviation. And the whole time I do that, I'm always thinking, you know, how can we make sure that people know that aviation is important and that's an opportunity for careers and all of those sorts of things. And it actually started out watching my daughter play hockey. When she was 5 years old, she said, you know, I want to be a hockey player. And that's when that whole journey started. And I spent a lot of time in an ice skating rink. Now, you say, what does that have to do with aviation? But I remember when I was told that we were going to be doing the hockey thing, I knew that that was going to be a financial burden and a time burden. And I thought to myself, wow, there's just so many people involved in hockey. And it is expensive. But as I began to do it, I realized that they really had it figured out, that it didn't have to be expensive initially. And the whole sticker shock of it didn't really never really occurred. You kind of paid as you went, and you paid appropriately for the age that you were participating in. And when it was all said and done, and I just was in Las Vegas watching my daughter play one of her last hockey games in her college career at 16 years, I look at what hockey did for my daughter and the discipline that it gave her and the ability to practice and how it affected the different parts of her life and made her into a good person, a contributor to society. I thought it was very similar to what aviation can do. And so there are even a lot of aviation people that say, oh, you know, aviation's so expensive, not everybody can do it. And really, having been in it my whole life, that's not really a true statement. It doesn't have to – aviation really isn't that expensive. It's a choice for how you spend your money. And when you look at the benefits that aviation gives you, in the end, it's all worth it. Like Dave said when he built his airplane, that it was an experience that he would not trade for anything. So I thought to myself, you know, it would be nice if we could create youth programs that very similar to the hockey, how they've got things set up, where we would have youth programs for elementary school kids and youth programs for middle school kids and youth programs for high school kids, and give them access to aviation that is accessible to them, like the park by the airport, like model airplanes. Those are all inexpensive ways to learn a lot about aviation and engineering and math and technology that are accessible and affordable to that age group. And then as you get older, when you know that you have an interest in that, to have these other opportunities like Learn, Build, Fly and Aviation Explorers available to you as you decide to go on to further your abilities so that you're well prepared when you make that career choice, you know what you want to do at that point. If you've been involved in these programs, there will be no question where you're going in life. And whatever money you did spend leading up to that, you won't even think twice about, because in the end, it's going to be all worth it.
Well, it hits the point that you made, Dave, a little bit ago when you said there were students from Mosinee and students from WASA that came over as you were starting to build that first plane, if I understood you correctly. And that probably was one of the very few activities that perhaps those students had to work together on a project with adults. If nothing but observing or actually helping with it and giving them that interest in that bug, if you will, in aviation.
Well, it was interesting. The kids, a lot of times, they couldn't drive yet. You know, they were 14, 15 years old, and their parents would bring them. And the parents would come in and spend the night with us as well, and then wind up sitting at the table and just chatting among themselves about different things, and the kids were working with us. And then I think the level of trust increased, and pretty soon the kids would just get dropped off and then picked up, and then pretty soon those kids were driving. The one guy, and I'll mention him by name, Jake Lassie, I knew Jake since he was quite young, actually, and I kept telling his mom and dad, you have to bring Jake to the airport. He always liked model airplanes, see. And so they brought him down, and one of the pilots gave him a ride in an airplane right off the board. The guy had just come back from a little flight himself, and the airplane was still out. And he said, "Well, you want to go for a ride?" And it was a Piper Cub. Well, Jake's eyes got about as big as oranges, you know, and he decided that he was going to get in that airplane and go for a ride. So he did. And that pretty well – Jake was probably about 12 years old at that point, I think. And going forward now, he helped all the way through the first Learn, Build, Fly project, which was that Mechanics Illustrated Baby Ace that we had talked about that Paul Poporesny had started. And he worked up until the time he left for college with us on the second airplane that we're constructing right now. And he still comes back all the time, and I still talk to him on the telephone and Facebook and everything there. But Jake is going to Mankato State University and in the aviation program. He's an instructor, pilot instructor at this point in time. And one of the major airlines had come to the school over there and interviewed. They were looking for 30 kids, and they actually went to all the schools around the country, and it was a pretty rigorous test. But at 19 years old, Jake was picked as one of those 30 kids that that airline was willing to take into their pilot program.
Wow.
So I guess if I have to have a rosy picture of a story that I'm really proud of and probably a success story for Jake, it would be that whole opportunity and what it led up to.
And that may not have happened if Learn, Build, Fly wasn't there.
Right. I think that the organization played a major role. And, you know, there's a lot of other kids, too. We've got a couple other ones that were more interested in the engineering and the fabrication part of the thing who are also at colleges in the engineering fields right now.
And we'll get into that in just a little bit. You're listening to Route 51 on Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Rick Ryer with John Schmiel and Dave Conrad. We're talking about aviation in central Wisconsin and getting kids to be interested in the actual industry through Learn, Build, Fly. When we come back, we'll get an overview of the program and what it's doing for young aviators. We'd like to hear from you as well. Join the conversation at 800-780-9742. That number again is 800-780-9742. This is Route 51 on Wisconsin Public Radio. We're talking with John Schmiel of Wausau Flying Service and Dave Conrad from Learn, Build, Fly on Route 51. I'm Rick Ryer. Your questions and comments are always welcome. Call at 800-780-9742. Dave, in the last segment, you told us how Learn, Build, Fly got off the ground, so to speak. Walk us through that educational center.
Well, we've got about a 5,200 square foot education center, hangar building, like I said, right behind the park at the Wausau Airport. If you come down there, you're going to find a gate in the fence just to the south of the vehicle gate. And you can walk in there. You're going to come up to the door of the hangar. And you're going to walk in, and your eyes are going to pop. We've got a very warming entrance to the place. We've got some aviation art on the wall and so on. And you're going to walk into a really well-lit epoxied floor building. The building, the south wall of our building is equipped with all the metalworking equipment that you'd need. We've got a big sheet metal brake press there. We've got a drill press. We've got a lathe. We've got a quite large, in fact, we had to have a equipment mover bring our big CNC milling machine into the building. And then up from that, we've got a welding center that was basically furnished between EAA and Miller Welding. Both donated equipment to that. Local company here, C-Tech Manufacturing, donated some really, really nice aluminum cabinets to the building, our toolboxes and stuff. C-Tech is especially famous for all their work in NASCAR. If you go to a NASCAR race, everything behind pit row is C-Tech equipment. If we walk across the floor to the north side of the hangar, it's our woodworking side. We've got enough saws and equipment to do just about anything that you'd want to do. And we've got workstations for all these projects. We've got a big walk-around workbench. It's on rollers that's dedicated to sheet metal work. We've got another one dedicated to woodworking. All the tools for those trades or those tasks are located right in those work tables. As I stated earlier, we've got a pretty good solid modeling program working with the Autodesk Inventor, and that allows us to 3D print parts and laser cut parts. And we've got a laser cutter on the wood side of the facility, and we've got a 3D printer there too. And for kids, it amazes me the skill level that kids have got. You know, we all say that if the computer doesn't work, call your five-year-old because they'll get it going for you. Well, I have been humbled many times at the ability of kids to draw parts up in these computer programs. And with very little help, we send them off to the laser or to the 3D printer and make a part. I had one little guy last year. He wanted to make something so bad, and I said, "What are you going to make?" And he said, "A funnel." And so I said, "Okay, have at it." So with a little bit of help, he designed a funnel. It was about 2 inches around, and it was about as big as a drinking straw coming out the end. And we printed it up for him, and he came back the next week, and was just a grin ear to ear to see that he could do something. But I know that a seed was planted at that point in time with that child, and we hope to do that in a lot of different areas, you know, by a visit to the hangar if the person comes, it takes the time to come down.
That's incredible. So you not only are building the planes, you're making the parts to build the planes.
Right.
Wow.
I can elaborate one other part on the solid modeling. That's going to also go over to our other CNC equipment, too, where we can actually model the part on the computer and send the part to the milling machine or to the lathe or whatever tool, water jet, whatever tool we would tend to do. In fact, you know, if we don't have the tool in-house, we can actually model it up on that computer, and we can put it on a little zip drive, and we can take it someplace else to a company in the area that has those tools, and they can run that program for us. That's how universal this all is.
That's incredible. Thanks for the walkthrough, Dave. Mm-hmm. John, before we came on the air, you were talking about the interrelationship between what's going on at Learn, Build, Fly and Model Airplane Night, which happens at the airport or at the educational center. I can't recall.
Well,
how does that all work together?
Model Airplane Night started this year. We've got 10 kids going through the program, and we're just finishing up our last model, which is a radio control model. And each kid is building their own, by the way. And the whole purpose of Model Airplane Night was to give these kids a basic understanding of how an airplane works, the parts, how to fly it, have some experience flying it, get them some basic model building skills, which will then translate into what they can use at Learn, Build, Fly. But Model Airplane Night is just – it's the MITE program for our aviation youth that's mm-hmm. going to feed into the next program, which is Learn, Build, Fly. And before that is the park. You know, the park, Alexander Airport Park, which is named after the Alexander family, which really put aviation on the map in Wausau. That little park is just a scale model of an airport. It's got a control tower. It's got runways in it, taxiways in it. There's 10 learning stations throughout the park. And we didn't just want to have a park that kids could play in. We wanted a park that people could bring their kids over to and do a self-guided tour. Mm-hmm. Of to plant that seed about aviation in the elementary school kids. And then when they got to about 10 years old, they would know, now you can join Model Airplane Night. And kids can stay in Model Airplane Night as long as they want. We have a requirement that the kids that come with an adult. Hopefully it's a parent or a family member. But we build at least 4 different models over the year. We meet on Tuesday nights at 6:30. Our next session, we're actually going to start at 6 o'clock. We go for an hour because it's a school night. We don't want it to be too much of a time commitment mm-hmm. for the kids and the parents. But then when they get to the age of high school, if they want to move up into Learn, Build, Fly, Learn, Build, Fly typically meets on Tuesday nights, and they're their things start at 7 o'clock. So the idea was, you know, our next sessions are going to take place at in the learning center at Learn, Build, Fly, and the younger kids are going to be building their stuff. And then about the time they're done, then all the older folks will be coming in to work on the big airplanes, and they'll be able to see, hey, this is what I get to do next.
And their eyes really bug out at that point.
Exactly. And I do have to say that I think what's really cool about being involved in these programs, what's really giving me a kick is I love to see the look on the kids' faces when they've completed something, when they've built a model airplane and they can actually see it fly. When they're building, not a lot of kids fabricate things anymore. And so for them to put a model airplane together and they're not sure if they're doing it right or whatever, and you do a couple tweaks to the model, you get in the air, and the look on that kid's face is priceless. And I know, because I grew up building models. I still build models today. It's an important part of my life. But it all fed into the bigger picture. And so that's what the whole point of this is you got the elementary school level, you got the middle school level, and then you got the high school level.
He struck a chord there when he said the look on their faces. When I test flew that baby Ace airplane, after we put it together, there was a group of those kids. There's probably about 7 or 8 of them that came down for the test flight on a Saturday morning. Several years back, and they had a video camera running of me flying away in the airplane, and it was just that there was hysteria among them all. They couldn't believe it. This was something that they built that took to the air. And of course, then the ones that got to come down to the Oshkosh Air Show and see it actually open the air show and fly past that crowd of 100,000 plus people, and they knew they were part of it. That was a real special experience.
Well, what's cool about the next airplane, the baby Ace was a single place airplane, so obviously it can only carry the pilot. But the next airplane that you're building is
a two seat.
So people that are participating in the fabrication of that airplane will likely be able to actually fly in that airplane when it's completed, which is going to double the experience, I think, for people.
Yeah, hopefully we build a bunch of pilots out of this next project when it's finished as well.
Well, speaking of pilots, at the beginning of the program, I quoted a statistics from Boeing that there's a real serious issue with the lack of pilots, mechanics, air traffic controllers, that if you look 20 years out, we're going to be in a lot of trouble. How did we get to this point, John?
Well, it's interesting because a lot of people look at this in our modern times and call it a crisis, and it is a crisis, but I look at it completely different. To me, this is the rebirth or the new golden age of aviation, because the amount of opportunity that's out there today is 100%, 1,000% different than it was even 10 years ago. I think there's a number of things that have contributed to the pilot shortage and the mechanic shortage. One of them is the Vietnam-era pilots are all retiring. Airlines did not pay what they needed to keep their staffing levels up the way that they should have. And I think a lot of people have taken aviation for granted over the years. Mm-hmm. And so they don't really think twice about who does what and if it's a viable career. And all those things coming together at the same time have contributed to it. But also, it is more of a world economy nowadays. And the United States is on the forefront of that. And the United States typically produces more pilots than any other region in the world. So we've always kind of been the aviation hub. So in the United States, we take that for granted. But because economies are emerging throughout the world, they're also pursuing the things that we've had for a long time, such as the airline industry and air transportation. So the demand isn't just domestic for pilots and mechanics. It's worldwide. And a lot of those companies in foreign countries are subsidized by their governments. Mm-hmm. So they're willing to pay higher salaries to pilots that are willing to come and work for them. So the demand isn't just domestic, it's worldwide. And that's why there more than ever we need pilots.
And the mechanic side of that,
it's even worse.
Yeah, well, I just talked to a friend of mine down in Milwaukee a week or two ago, and there's a company down there was trying to hire a mechanic for one of their freight airplanes, and they were willing to pay $30 an hour, no experience, and they couldn't fill the job.
Seriously.
So basically, what it would take to get to that point is you'd have to have the interest, you'd have to get a airframe and power plant license, and then an inspector's rating. It's called an A&P and then an A&I rating. But that could lead you into that, and you know that's something that the whole Learn, Build, Fly program is also doing. It's exposing, you know, kids to that possibility of doing that for an occupation. Well, they're good paying jobs. That's the thing.
They're wonderful paying jobs.
They're definitely not something that you're gonna regret. You know, pilot jobs are big pain. If you get to supervisor status or inspector status at a mechanic shop, and that it's a fabulous career opportunity.
The airlines have realized that they were underpaying their personnel, and that has completely changed. And all of the major airlines understand just exactly where they are in the situation. Now, my local company experiences this actually really – the shortages really got real for everybody about 3 years ago. And we lost a couple of – well, we lost three pilots that were moving up in the industry. We do pilot services out of the Wausau Airport. So we provide flight crews for companies that have access to aircraft, mm-hmm. and we do their flying for them. And then when we looked to fill those positions, we realized how difficult it was going to be to fill those positions because there just weren't as many pilots available. So, you know, when I look at the youth programs here in Wausau, what my hope is that we'll be able to actually make homegrown employees for Wausau Flying Service. Our idea isn't just to create pilots for the entire industry. It's right. Kind of selfish as well. I mean, we'll be able to pay you and employ you here at home if you like Wausau.
And you touched on just briefly, we're not talking just travel, commercial travel. We're talking about freight. We're talking about cargo. It's a shortage that is industry-wide versus just one part of that industry.
Well, right now the airlines are sucking up all the pilots because they're the companies that have the money that can pay, which makes it harder for the smaller companies like mine to compete with that. But there's advantages of being a pilot and working local versus working for the airlines. You're home a lot more often. It's more conducive to family life. You might get to fly multiple different types of airplanes, where in the airlines you typically only fly one. So there are jobs out there that suit the kind of life that you want to live. Mm-hmm. If you want to have the airline life, that's out there and available to you. If you want to have the local life, that's out there available to you as well.
I can add to that by saying, we're used to buying things every day online. You know, people buy things all the time online, and that they want it overnight. And without an airplane, that's not going to happen. These freight companies, if you follow UPS or FedEx or now Amazon, their Amazon Prime business is, they've got their own dedicated airline air fleet now for that. So it's just going to get better and better, for job prospects in those areas. They're going to need to fill those seats.
We're talking with John Schmiel and Dave Conrad on Wisconsin Public Radio's Route 51. When we return, we'll take a look into the potential of offering an accredited aviation program into high schools. We'd like to hear from you as well. You can join the conversation at 800-780-9742, 1-800-780-9742. This is Route 51 on Wisconsin Public Radio. Soaring guitar of Joe Satriani on Wisconsin Public Radio, If I Could Fly. We're talking about flight. We're talking about learn, build, fly on Route 51. I'm Rick Ryer. We are welcoming your questions or comments of our guests, John Schmiel and Dave Conrad, 800-780-9742. John, I understand you're talking with the Wausau School District about developing an aviation curriculum in the high schools. How would that work?
Well, we're not only talking to them, but we've actually been able to create a course that we're probably a month into. Our pilot program, pun intended, is done through the virtual school created through the Wausau School District. And when I approached them they approached me. What would you think about an aviation program here at Wausau? I had been thinking about it for years, so it was really easy for me to tell them how, just give them my advice on how it should work. And it was an incredible experience to work with the school district because I expected a lot of bureaucracy, but there really wasn't. They said, how do we do this? Okay, let's get it done. And I expected that maybe 1 or 2 years down the road we'd have a high school program, but within a couple of months we were ready to go.
Wow.
And so you can enroll our first – we're calling them the first six, but our pilot program has six kids in it right now. It's run through the virtual school. The class prepares the students to be able to take their private pilot knowledge exam, which is a FAA requirement. And then in addition to that, we're also doing 14 lessons on an FAA-approved flight simulator with a flight instructor to teach the youth as much as we can about learning to fly in the simulator so that when summer vacation comes, the student can come to us and say, here, I passed my FAA knowledge exam, and I have 14 flights on a flight simulator. I want to get my private pilot's license. And if we schedule everything out and you have the financial ability to do that, we can easily get you your private pilot license over the summer. Now, what that's going to do for you as a high school student is if you're going to enroll in an aviation program, you're going to be that much further ahead. And we eventually would like on a local level to add the instrument rating. And then maybe 2 years down the road, we also would like to create courses for A&P mechanics as well. So you could choose, if you knew in high school what it is that you wanted to do for a career, you could actually be working towards that while in high school.
That's amazing. Are there any schools in the state doing this like you're doing it here?
Well, we've been working with the Wisconsin Bureau of Aeronautics, and they've toured our programs. Actually, they helped us hook up with the Wausau School District to be able to get this done.
Sure.
And they said there isn't another program in the state that's like this. There's a couple that have a high school program, but they don't have anything that starts at the elementary school level and builds up. And what we wanted to do was we actually wanted to go beyond high school and try to establish a relationship with a collegiate program. And there are a lot of collegiate programs throughout the United States, but we felt very strongly that working with a collegiate program in the state of Wisconsin was important. And so we began a partnership with Fox Valley Technical College in Oshkosh.
And so when they go to Fox Valley Tech, for example, when that is all set up, unless it's already set up by now, but what do they get out of it? When they're done with the program, what kind of accreditation do they have?
Okay, so they will have all of their commercial pilot certificates that would allow them to work in the industry. Now, they can't immediately go to the airlines at that point. They have to earn some experience. But the shortage is so bad right now that airlines are actually interviewing a lot of these aviation program graduates for a job even before they're qualified. And then they're saying, hey, if you can meet these pilot experience goals within this period of time, then we will consider you for a job with our airline. They're trying to get these guys pre-signed, which is basically what Jake –
what happened to Jake, yeah.
What Jake did. So that's how bad the shortage is. And it's not – you'll be making six figures not too far down the road after graduation.
Well, I understand that there's a major aviation or a major airline that's kind of – found out about this and it's caught a lot of interest. Talk about that.
Yeah, well, what we're trying to do is hook up with a major airline, and we're in discussions with one right now. And we would like to brand the program in exchange for their support. But then what that would do for us is it would help us pay for a lot of the instruction part of it, maybe some of the virtual school, some of the flight simulation. Mm-hmm. And then we're working with Fox Valley to have shared credit. So if people come from our high school program and choose to go to Fox Valley, they will have already earned credit in high school towards their collegiate credits. And then this major airline would then work with Fox Valley to interview graduates from their program to come and work for them. So in the end, it all works out for us. The major airline will have the brand name on our program. They'll help us financially, but they'll also have a stream of pilots coming from WASA to go work for them.
Well, Dave, how does a community like WASA benefit from a program like this?
Well, I always looked at it this way. The WASA area was famous for paper and blue-collar jobs, and they provided a very good source of income for a lot of families. And we've seen that kind of decrease over the years, at least the paper industry. And I really think it would be nice if the WASA area was known for its engineering base and some of the smart kids that came out of the central Wisconsin area. And I think that would be a benefit back to the area in the form of new business coming in. You know, we talk about the brain drain that's mm-hmm. going down to the southern states and all of that. And yet we've got a really nice quality of life up here in Wisconsin. And we need to be able to sell that, but we need to have opportunities for these kids. It isn't everybody that can open their own business and start up that way. But if they've got the education, especially in engineering, that's just a wide open field going ahead.
I think the other way it benefits too is if you – let's say they choose a job as an airline pilot. Airline pilots don't typically have to be based at the airport where they're flying out of. There are many, many airline pilots that live in the Wausau metro area in Marathon County that commute to where they fly from. And these are very good paying jobs, and those people live here in Wausau, and that can continue to happen. There's a big maintenance base for the airlines down at Seaway. They're always looking for mechanics. The local airports are always looking for personnel. So there are a lot of great job opportunities in Wausau that a program like this could feed, not just from a pilot mechanic standpoint, but from a fabricator standpoint, from an engineering standpoint. It's the golden age. There's a lot of opportunity.
Go ahead.
One thing I wanted to bring up, all of these are what we call STEM skills, science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. Traditionally taught, some of those subjects can sound pretty boring to a lot of people, not to me, but to a lot of people. And I think that needs to be overcome. And by associating those tasks to a project or a building project, however you want to look at it, makes them a lot more learnable. And for kids coming down to Learn, Build, Fly, one of the goals of our organization is to never charge anything to these kids. We want, regardless of your your background, your economic, how much money your family has, how you live, where you live. We want them to be able to walk into our building and observe for a while and then start building their skill sets. And the same for adults. If there's people that have got something to share back, and they can see what we've got in a line of tools and opportunities to build things. We think that, you know, the first step you got to make is to walk through that door and see what it's all about.
And those Tuesday evenings.
Tuesday evening, 7 o'clock. Yeah, mm-hmm. We go 7 to roughly 9:30, but you can come and go as you please.
The talent base in the Learn, Build, Fly Education Center is incredible. The adults there that help the kids, their skill set.
Oh, it's incredible. Absolutely.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah. We've got a lot of guys that are engineers from around town, a lot of the major corporations and so on that come down. Got a couple of teachers that come down. We've got two guys that have written books.
Yeah. So to be able to rub elbows with somebody with those kinds of backgrounds.
It's a fabulous
opportunity. Has the opportunity to put you in a really great position.
So in essence, this is really continuing WASA's reputation as an aviation hub.
Correct.
Exactly. I wouldn't want to lose that on my watch. So,
me either.
Yeah.
I figure that my goal is by the time I die, I want to be able to share back everything I know to the younger generations.
What have you seen in the last few minutes that we have here on Route 51? What really strikes a trigger with each of you individually working through this program?
You know, for me, it's I grew up flying model airplanes, loving aviation, all of that. And I know the feeling that it gave me. And I know what it's gotten me in life. And when I see those same triggers and those same looks and those same feelings in the kids that I'm working with, I know that I'm planting seeds and I'm doing my job. Even if these kids choose not to go into an aviation career, I know that they know what aviation has done for them. And so in general, into the future, they're more likely to support it. But I just like to see the kids and the great things that they end up doing. Just one other thing. A few years ago, we did flight camp in WASA. We had a bunch of 10-year-old kids in that, and we built model airplanes. It was a shorter version of what we're doing right now. And all those kids were the aviation geeks from WASA in their age group. And they all kind of consolidated at the airport for this one-week program. And it was really interesting because 10 years after that, many of them came up to me and said, it was because of flight camp that I went into the Air Force, or I became a pilot because of this. At least half the kids that went through flight camp became pilots. And one of them graduated number one in primary flight training in the Navy this year. And they went to flight camp in WASA. And that's what excites me.
Yeah. My comment on that would be just that my joy is seeing the fire in their eyes when they that when they are able to accomplish something in our building in the Learn, Build, Fly Education Center, my reward is just seeing the sparkle and the fire and the look on their face when they see it all work.
Do you see this program, Learn, Build, Fly, here in WASA, Wisconsin, as a model for other communities that have airports in the state or beyond?
I get calls relatively frequently from different areas of the country. I got a guy out in New York that keeps his eye on this on our Facebook page. You can go to Learn, Build, Fly on Facebook, and you can follow along with everything we're doing. I'm in conversation right now with a guy down in Florida as well that has never been here, but he just thinks it's a fabulous opportunity and a really good program. And hopefully someday he comes up here and we meet and get to a different level than we're at right now.
Well, our intention is to, you know, I think we're not doing our job unless we try to grow the program throughout the country, because just one WASA program isn't going to solve the problem for the country or the world. And so that's what we've got to keep working towards. I'm going to be speaking at the Wisconsin Aviation Conference in May about our program to try to help other communities do the same thing.
John and Dave, thanks so much for being here today.
Thank you.
That's all the time we have today on Route 51. I'd like to thank our guests, John Schmiel and Dave Conrad, for joining us today. Our producer is Joy Ratchkramer. She also is our on-air producer. John Altenberg composed the Route 51 theme. Special music today from Seal, Gary Allen, Nat Simmons, John Mellencamp, Joe Satriani, and Frank Sinatra. I'm Rick Ryer. Next week, we break down the Governor Evers' budget address with State Representative Scott Krug and Katrina Shanklin. Until then, we're heading out of town.
Come fly with me. Let's fly away. If you can use some exotic booze, there's a bar in far Bombay. Come fly with me. Let's fly away. Come fly with me. Let's float down to Peru. In Llama Land, there's a one-man band, and he'll toot his flute for you. Come fly with me, let's take off in the blue. Once I get you up there, where the air is rarefied, we'll just fly starry-eyed. Once I get you up there.